In the 21st century, the world searches for answers to the questions that really affect our lives.
Does anyone know an anagram for gonad dream?
To debate the topics that really matter.
Star Trek is in a good place right now.
Yeah, I can't agree with you on that one.
And be brave enough to state the truth.
Movies just don't end that way.
Three men dare to face what others fear. James.
Oh yeah, I didn't need that image.
Jesse.
I was thinking God or dog.
Joash.
I want Stan Lee to be the one to wield the Infinity Gauntlet and destroy Thanos.
If you hunger for knowledge, if you thirst for wisdom, if you're looking for a podcast that will make all your wildest dreams come true, you've come to the wrong place. You're listening to The Antimatter Hour.
The swinging sounds of Vehicle.
Ah.
The Ides of March.
There you go.
Love you.
And with that, welcome to the Antimatter Hour.
Yay.
On the Ides of March.
Yes, almost the Ides of March. But I'm not an expert on cultural sort of things. Apparently the Ides of March coincide with a Christian or Catholic holiday, but it was traditionally a day in which the taxes were due. In the ancient Roman calendar.
That's why they said, beware the Ides of March.
But it was all, no, that's not why. It's also the day which, I think it was the day which Julius Caesar was assassinated.
No, what they mean by the Ides
yes,
of March.
Beware yeah. Yes, beware of the Ides of March.
No, I know,
it means like, don't be
I know.
If you're a political leader, beware, you could be assassinated on that day.
Et true, Mike Pence?
Anywho. So
Ides means fear of being stabbed?
No, the Ides of March is...
It's a portion of the calendar.
Yeah, there's like a portion of March, the first quarter or something like
so,
that.
So my research, albeit weak and not high quality, the Roman calendar, they didn't have... It wasn't dated like numerically one through whatever. There was three... It was counted back from three particular parts of the month. So like there was a... particular day like the 10th day of the month, which represented one portion, for example, when it was counted up to or back from that day. And then the Ides were the middle portion, which is like another week in the middle. And then there was a third portion. I don't know why they did it that way. That's just what the Wikipedia article explained.
So beware the Ides of March means beware mid-March.
Yeah, basically. Of the day that you might be assassinated or have to pay your taxes. For that month.
Which, you know, the only two certain things in life,
death
and taxes.
Yeah. Yeah, so. It all comes around, doesn't it? Anyway, didn't need to get too far into that. That was just something that I came across during my research for the trivia round that we'll do later on.
So now is the time where we find something to talk about that isn't connected to the current global pandemic. And go.
How about them sorry.
No, they're not playing. Pandemic.
So it's fun because BTS...
Pandemic.
Concert canceled. Oh, yeah. Anyone going to work? Oh, Jamie, you're still going to work, right? Because you work here at home.
Yes, I'm going to work this week because this is the best week to be going into an office.
Right.
I just got a text message from my wife today, and she asked me what we're doing for spring break.
Are you going anywhere?
Yeah, I weren't planning to really, but that's kind of like the thing that goes, hey, spring break's coming up. We should go somewhere.
What are we doing for that?
I'm like, I don't know if we should be going anywhere or not.
Is that next week or the week after?
It's undefined. I don't know. It's late. It's
coming up. Depends on district.
No, for your kids, though.
Right. I don't know. I think it's. I don't think it's next week. I think it's the following week.
What about your kids, Josh?
It's not next week. I imagine it's also the following. It's usually, it's probably going to be like the third week in March.
Yeah.
Well, that's, yeah. Isn't that next week?
No. I don't think so.
Well, it's the 11th today.
Yeah.
So it's part of next week.
What's your point?
Oh, we could talk about
I have no point. I'm just being difficult.
Okay.
We could talk about the oil wars.
Yeah.
That's different than that's the other reason that the economy is in turmoil at the moment.
Okay, so far we've got pandemic, oil wars, and economy in turmoil.
Wasn't there a hurricane in Tennessee a couple days ago?
What good things
we're
are
supposed
happening?
To talk about
what good happy cheery things are happening?
I had a great weekend driving people around on Uber. Believe it or not, the last two weekends. It's been a lot of fun and pretty good business. I don't want to circle back to the previous topic, but I think Portland's economy and people in Portland are pretty resilient. They like to get out and do stuff. But simultaneously, there's a lot of factors in play. I think some people are electing not to get on mass transit and take an Uber, like a private car, instead. And I also think some people are other. The reason I'm busier than usual is maybe some drivers are scared to go to the airport or something like that. And also, I don't know. It's just it's been like some of my busiest weekends that we've had all year, like since the holidays, probably, which is kind of interesting.
What about you, Jamie? Happy, yay!
Well, as of tonight, I just checked, the Shamrock Run is still on for this weekend.
Woo!
Woo-hoo! Run, run, run. That's a half marathon, right?
Well, I'm doing the half. This one has a 5K, 8K, a 15K, and a half marathon.
How many Shamrocks are running this year?
Zero, because Shamrocks can't move on their own.
That's fascinating.
Although there is snow / ice in the forecast for the day before the race. But hey,
In the world did that come from?
That's true. That's funny you should mention
the
that.
The sky?
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, like, I looked at my phone, right, and it's like, Thursday it might snow?
Yeah, no, we're actually just getting, like, just completely, I mean, it's weather, it's chaotic, it's random, but we're getting, like, a perfect, like, late December, early
January. Perfect storm?
We're getting a perfect late December, early January, like, scenario for our region, for our precise geography, that had it be, like, December, January, would be, like, a solid, like, foot of snow for everyone in our area. Here in March, it's like, well, it's probably going to snow a little bit, and it might accumulate on the roadway, but once the sun comes up, it'll just melt off in, like, 10 minutes.
Yeah, but I feel like around this time, it's going to be a welcome enough reason to close down a bunch of different areas.
Yeah,
probably.
Also, what if you happen to be doing a run the day after the snow / ice happens that starts before the sun comes up?
Wear your snowshoes?
Dress warm.
Okay.
Dress warm, yeah. You got your, put your shoe chains on. You got your what do they call them, yak tracks?
Fill your water bottle with bourbon.
Yeah,
could do that.
Maple bourbon. Maybe?
Of course, to be honest, you don't necessarily need cold weather to do that.
Your water bottle, yeah, you could do like the rescue Saint Bernard
have a Saint Bernard rescue in you.
In the cartoons and draw,
right,
like, on your water bottle. Do you have a water bottle when you run? How do you drink? You get cups from aid station, or
yeah, there's aid stations on the course.
No. Well, what they should do is use like a Sharpie and put the little X's on the side of the cup.
Those Saint Bernards, I think, they're
they
Swiss,
it around,
right?
Yeah, they carry it around their neck,
so
right?
They'd be carrying what, like schnapps or something?
I don't know. I thought it, I always thought it was whiskey.
It's
or
in
something.
A it's in a barrel, so
yeah,
it's
I thought
been
it was
barrel
whiskey.
Aged.
Yeah.
Do you know barrel aged schnapps? I have no idea.
I mean, whiskey is basically any neutral alcohol that's been aged in a barrel, more or less.
Yeah.
To a certain extent. I mean, if you want to get technical about it, but
yeah.
Oh, I do. I do want to get technical about it.
That could be
so the Shamrock Run. That's gonna be fun. It might snow. That's gonna be fun.
If it takes place and if I finish, there's some ifs involved because I haven't been running lately. But
are you saying you might die?
Yeah, that's what I was getting at.
Ah, I'll show up for that.
That and if I finish it, it'll be half marathon number 71 for me.
Oh, congratulations. So
that's great. Moving on.
I told you guys about a show I was watching, the Lego Masters.
Oh, yeah, yeah, with Will Arnett.
Yeah, I'm not sure if anyone else has joined on the...
No, but I need to. I mean, just because I'm going to be in the house a whole bunch anyway,
It's been quite a lot of fun, to be honest. But I tweeted just sort of a off-the-cuff comment after watching the latest edition, the fifth episode on Hulu. And so one of the things that happens in the show, it's not really a spoiler, they show it in one of the like next time on sort of things. The teams sometimes have to roll a table that has their project on it from like the build room into like a different room where it's like assembled into like a master sort of
that's
project.
The tense moment where it's like hope nothing falls.
Right. And what happens is they're building with Legos for like anywhere from like 7 to 24 hours, and Legos end up on the floor. One of the early episodes, one of the tables, like the casters like struck a Lego and like it either caused like a bump or just a complete like disaster of the thing that collapsed or something.
And
so,
isn't it ironic?
Yeah. So, so I thought, well, that'll never happen again. They'll like make sure to look down or be really careful or go around or sweep them out of the way first or something, which they sort of did, but like you could still see like there's the floor is still messy with Legos. And on the latest episode, one of the teams was rolling their project, and one of the team members on said team literally utters the words, look out, you know, don't hit or don't run over any Legos. And as soon as he says the word Legos, you can see his project, his table, like they hit a Lego, and the top half of their thing just totters over. And the guy tries to catch it, but it hits the floor and goes to a million pieces. So I tweeted out, like, right at as soon as I saw that, I was not live on television, but I tweeted out, has anyone on Lego Masters heard of a broom? And I got a like and a retweet from, let's see here, Matthew Ashton with a check mark, design VP at Lego / exec producer, the Lego movies, Lego Batman movie, Lego Masters judge, Pony Herder, Spicy Boy, and Unikitty's dad. Views are mine.
Did you say Spicy Boy?
Spice Boy. Sorry, Spice Boy.
That doesn't really explain anything.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I'm assuming dad of Unikitty, maybe he was the creator of the Unikitty from the Lego movies.
Probably.
Hey, I mean, you know.
Yeah, he's one
blessings,
of the
blessings from on
anyway,
high.
His
so.
Name is Matthew. He's one of the judges on the show, and he liked and retweeted my comment about the Lego Masters show. I'm practically a celebrity.
I haven't watched the show, but I just imagine all these people building Lego projects and looking at the ground. Where all these Legos come from?
Anyway,
well, if they were smart, they would do what Will Ferrell did in the Lego Movie and super glue everything down.
Yeah, there's a lot of
a crackle.
There's actually a lot of funny sort of references to Lego Movie and
craggle, I think.
And different stuff. Like Will Arnett, he'll do the voice, or there'll be just like some other reference to the movie. It's a pretty funny show. Like. I'm actually like looking forward to when they drop the next episode each week. Matt and I've been watching it with my daughter. She's been wanting to watch it too, which is interesting because she doesn't have like a particular affinity for Legos, but it's just kind of a show that we both sort of can bond over a little bit, I guess.
Sounds like one of those shows where you just wait for, like you just described, somebody's hard work, you know, creation, you know, falling over and. Adults crying over it and drama and
Oh, there is.
What's wrong with adults crying?
They do have one of those rooms like the where they do the interview. A couple times so far during the season, somebody's like left the stage of the like the you know the production where the show's being taped and run to the room for privacy to have like an emotional moment. Could they
just not even?
I guess. but yeah, no. There's actually. I mean, there is. Like, you think it's just like a straightforward like, oh, it's a Lego contest, but no, it's like they've actually found ways to add drama and sort of suspense to it. It's
the way they do that. It's called producers.
Yeah.
At any point during the show, has anyone's lives been at stake?
No. Lives.
Listen, plenty of minifigs' lives have been at stake.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who do you think was under those casters? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, could be a little minifig.
That's right.
So that's that, I guess, for Legos.
Everyone cut up on Picard so far?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, although it occurs to me I didn't watch last week's Ready Room episode.
Yeah, I did, but I think I was really tired, so I don't really remember it very well. I remember. It was two titans of Star Trek.
Brent Spiner was supposed to be on it.
Yeah, and it was Brent Spiner and
Will Wheaton. Well,
no, it was Brent Spiner and
Jonathan
Frakes.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Okay. I'm going to watch that before I watch the next episode.
That one I definitely need to watch.
Now, who would you prefer to hear more from amongst the two?
I mean, if we're talking about Star Trek in particular, I would almost say Jonathan Frakes, simply because he's been involved with directing so many of the episodes and movies.
That's a good point. Do you agree, James?
Brent Spiner is... I've never actually heard Jonathan Frakes talk, but I have heard Brent Spiner talk. He's funny, and he has some interesting insights into his time in Star Trek.
I can see that. Would it be a spoiler or upset anyone to hear my thoughts of the most recent Ready Room?
Well, if you have spoilers, then I'd prefer you save them.
You say save them?
If you're going to talk generically, then I guess.
Oh, okay. Yeah, just generically. I was just going to say that watching the most recent Ready Room, you get a lot of Jonathan Frakes and not a whole lot of Brent Spiner.
Mm. I mean, if you're going to have them both on, I would prefer a measured quantity of both.
They're both simultaneously on. It's just who one person's just a wordier person, I think.
Maybe that's. I can see that simply because
Will Wheaton does a competent job of directing, you know, questions and getting, you know, comments from both parties. But I was just kind of, I guess I don't know either person very well from anything except for watching the show. So it didn't neither confirm or, you know, do anything for me that I didn't, you know, necessarily expect or anything. But
the only other thing I know Jonathan Frakes from was there was like a show that was kind of like I remember what it was. It was a show where they would have various different scenarios of things that would happen, and you would have to guess if whether that actually happened or not. It would be like, you know, oh, a ghost that was seen in someone's house, and they would do a, you know, he would talk through a reenactment of it, and then you would have to guess whether or not this was a story that was actually reported or whether it was something they made up. And some of them were like, you know, too good to be believed or something along those lines.
Oh, that's a fascinating sort of concept.
So yeah, that's what I remember him from. So I would imagine him to be the more verbose.
I would also just say, you know, just speaking generically that
beyond belief, fact or fiction.
Oh,
that's the one.
I would also say just generically speaking that, it was a really, Jonathan Frakes being on the Ready Room, was because obviously he was a part of that episode, and it was a very strong performance by Jonathan Frakes, I would say.
We also directed some of the previous episodes.
True.
Oh, of Picard itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jonathan Frakes is on my list of Star Trek The Next Generation actors I still need to get a picture with. I have a picture with Brent Spiner. But
I forget her name. I apologize. The actress that played Deanna Troi.
Marina Sirtis.
That's, yes. Thank you.
See, I have a picture with Brent Spiner and John DeLancey, who played Q, who I'm guessing isn't going to show up in Picard, but be kind of cool. I have a picture with Miranda Sirtis, Gates McFadden, and Michael Dorn. And I have a picture with Will Wheaton. But so far, Jonathan Frakes hasn't been to Rose City Comic Con. And if it actually takes place this year, I'd like to see either Jonathan Frakes, Patrick Stewart, obviously. I would really like to see LeVar Burton.
Patrick Stewart, would be a hard picture to get. And an expensive one. I would imagine.
Chances are, if he's going to go to Comic-Con, he's going to the main event. San Diego, I think, is probably the biggest one.
It would be interesting to me to see Q appear, like, maybe in the ultimate episode of the Picard series. Like, as Picard's dying, like, maybe Q shows up and ushers him into...
I kind of doubt he will.
Whatever.
I mean, I seriously doubt he will, but it would be kind of cool.
I'm just saying that if he were to show up, to me, that would make the most sense. Because this doesn't seem like a... Q in the Star Trek The Next Generation was always one of those episodes where it's like... It's not that we're stuck in the hologram this time. It's that Q shows up and then borks us into some alternate reality or the future or something along those lines.
When you
lines.
Say stuck in the hologram, you mean the holodeck?
Yes, sorry. The holo... Yeah, we're not stuck in the holodeck in, like, 1934... Chicago mobster style. It's Q who's like zapped us into some alternate reality where,
like, the land of Robin Hood.
Yeah,
where Worf insists that he is not a merry man.
Yes, exactly, exactly. So I just don't see that playing very well in Picard, because Q, Q is the ultimate Deus ex machina of anything. It's like, oh, we're just en route to some, you know, monotonous sort of everyday mission that we're going to. Oh, now we're in some sort of crazy.
So I'll reiterate that I really don't think that John DeLancey will be a part of the Picard
show,
but a connection to Picard, right? Who introduced the Starfleet to the Borg?
Q.
It was Q, right?
Yeah.
And what's a major plot element of the Picard show?
Q. Anyway,
yeah,
I'm seeking, and I'm having a hard time finding. There's an event on Facebook, in a group on Facebook. Oh, here we go.
Wait, can a group of more than 1,000 people converge on Facebook?
It doesn't have that many. On Facebook it's fine.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Not in person. So I've signed up for an event. It's coming up in a couple of weekends, called Expedition Treasure Hunt, and it's a company that posts or hosts, I guess you would say, their own treasure hunts, similar to what we did last year, the Rose Festival Treasure Hunt. And also,
don't remind me about that.
Maybe somewhat similar, but different also than an escape room. Like, anyway, you pay, and I've already signed up and paid. It's per person. It's supposed to be per person, like honor system. So I paid $20. And the morning of the hunt, they will email me out essentially a clue with some photos and like a riddle of some kind. And then it'll be up to me to find the treasure.
There's only one treasure for everybody?
There's one treasure in the Portland area. They're region wide. They're doing hunts even in other states and, the Washington, even in, like, I think they've got one going in, like, Salt Lake City and Dallas, but...
And what day of the week are they starting this?
Saturday. They send the clues out, like, Saturday mid-morning. And the prize, the Portland prize, the treasure, will be found within 20 miles of the Screen Door restaurant on East Burnside. And it's... It's very similar to the Rose Festival in that you don't have to disturb any vegetation. Well, it might be under a plant or but you don't have to like break ground.
You have to dig stuff up.
Right. You don't have to break ground. You don't have to travel like move raw, like travel off the trail more than I think it said 20 feet or 10 feet or something like that. But it'll be on public property, no private property. It may be in a park or a fee site, but it'll be, you know, something that anybody can enter into, you know, without, you
without
know,
paying anything extra. Or
they said there might be like a, you know, a fee site that would be like parking or like, but,
oh,
but
gotcha.
Not, but not like, not private, like a private area or private property.
I've got two, options of where it could be right now.
Oh, like trails. It could be in a park or anywhere. Well, I mean,
you said 20 miles?
Within 20 miles.
It's either going to be in Laurelhurst Park or Buckman Field Park.
Oh, you don't think it could be within like the Sandy River area or West Hills or something like to that nature?
Oh, I guess.
I mean, it could be in any park, right? Like,
no,
mean,
they say 20 miles. It's going to be like 20 feet away from the screen door.
Oh, it could be.
That's my prediction. I know nothing about this. I'm just hearing about this right this second.
What's going to happen is you're going to open the screen door of the screen door restaurant, and it's going to
be taped right to the door.
Anyway, so some other members of the Rose Festival Treasure Hunt Facebook page, posted it to the page and commented about a recent hunt that they'd been a part of, and gave it glowing reviews. So several other members of the group are signing up and. I'm not the professional treasure hunter. There's several people in that group that consider themselves like professional, like treasure hunters. So
you've got my interest piqued because for the last year's Rose Festival treasure hunt.
Yeah, you were right on.
I was right there, but I just wasn't aggressive enough. I didn't think to just reach my hand down into this hole next to a drainage ditch that I couldn't see the bottom of.
Yeah, to like get off the trail and poke your.
Oh no,
arms
it was on the trail.
Right,
it's just right there.
So this prize, the prizes that have been in the previous hunts, the prizes all have a $500 baseline. That's what they've had cash in them. And, some rare and some like, I don't know, rare coins, but some like minted coins, like, silver or gold coin. So that's kind of interesting. Like it's actually going to have like sort of a semblance of like an actual treasure.
Maybe some weird Portland artifacts.
Some of the prizes, some of the hunts have been completed within hours, and some have been completed within, because it's not a series of clues. It's like it's just one clue package, and then it's go get it. And some of them have lasted for several days before somebody's found them.
You ever see the movie It's a Mad, Mad, Mad World?
Oh, yes. That's one that you and me and Aaron watched, I think, all together.
I have not, but I think I've heard the song.
You're not thinking of The Gods Must Be Crazy, are
no,
you?
No, no, no.
That's
I'm
a great
of,
movie, too, though.
I'm thinking of the one where they're all looking after the treasure, and like there's a series of events where it's one guy who dies on the side of a cliff, and like a few people hear him, and he's like, it's under a big W.
Yeah, something. Yeah, I forget this plot specifics, but the gist of it is a whole bunch of people from, you know, just all walks of life, just a bunch of bystanders and random people, are all like chasing down this treasure and causing a bunch of like property damage and personal damage and whatever in pursuit of the treasure. And
Yeah. That movie is hilarious. Specifically the end, but you know.
So I envision this being like that. And if it isn't like that, then what's the point?
Yeah.
However, so, when did you say this was taking place?
I think it's not the 17th. It's not the 17th. That's St. Patrick's Day. It's not this Saturday. It's the fall. I think it's the 21st or something.
Well, let me know if you need help.
Yeah, I think I think considering it. Yeah.
I'm considering getting help.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
He wants to do it on his own.
Well, I'm not sure what the ethical, because
well,
they say
the man paid $20.
They say you're supposed to pay $20 per person, not per team or family. But
I'd pay too if I was going to be contributing to the effort.
And it also says the more people that contribute, I mean, the more bigger the prize is. But I don't know that it's worth putting your own $20 in just to get the prize to go up like $2. But
it's not the matter of the actual value. It's,
yeah,
it's winning.
Yeah.
It's the thrill of the hunt.
So anyway.
Let the hunt begin.
Sounded fun. And and then one other thing I wanted to touch on before you know, maybe, you know, getting around to everybody. But Joash, you sent us a event invitation for a upcoming quiz for Monty Python.
It's not just a quiz.
It's not just a quiz. It's a live show of some Monty Python skits followed with a quiz.
Performed by people who are definitely not Monty Python members.
No.
Just to make that clear.
No. It's not put on by people who are Monty Python. But this is put on by the same company that did the... It's called Experience Theater, I think is mm-hmm. their name. Yeah. But they're the ones that put on the showing of the Portrait of Dorian Gray that my wife and I went to that we loved so much because... And we've gone to their Shakespeare Festival where they did a Comedy of Errors as well. But they anyway, yeah.
The idea, the premise of I mean, I just read the description from the Facebook event you sent, but the idea sounds intriguing just because I've never seen non-Monty Python members performing Monty Python sketches or Monty Python-like sketches.
I just thought, It's a good. They do good productions. It's Monty Python plus trivia. So
it does sound interesting. However, I think I messaged back to the group that I've never seen Monty Python, and I did today put on Monty Python. And is it Monty Python and the Holy Grail or Search for the Holy Grail?
The Search for the Holy Grail. Yeah,
and I watched it. I was a bit drowsy. I might have dozed off a couple of times, unfortunately.
That's perfect.
So I don't know how much help or I could be in a
Well, the core quiz. The core of Monty Python is the TV series they did in the 70s. And I'm assuming you've seen none of that.
Yes.
So if we said argument clinic to you, you wouldn't know what that meant.
No, not at all.
Or like the Council of Silly Walks or the Ministry of Silly Walks
or the Exploding Scotsman or the Wizzo butter adverts.
Yes.
I can go on. I think I think both Joash and myself have basically seen all Monty Python things.
Yeah, you would make a good core of a team.
This parrot is deceased. Wonderful plumage. Anyway, but I would like to go for the trivia, sure, but also just, I don't know. I mean, I don't think my wife would enjoy the comedy of Monty Python as much as I think we would.
That's probably true. Together.
Well, whatever else happens from this, Jesse just admitted having seen none of the Monty Python stuff. So,
which means upcoming possible movie podcast.
We've got to do a Monty Python and the Holy Grail movie, the Antimatter Hour reviews.
Really? The Holy Grail? You don't think maybe The Meaning of Life? Or?
Oh, certainly not that first. It's either going to be Holy Grail or Life of Brian.
I thought that was
the crown, like the gold standard.
The Meaning of Life is, well, the Holy Grail is probably the gold standard. Oh. The Meaning of Life is much more of what the Monty Python show was like, I would say, than anything else.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the Meaning of Life includes some songs such as Every Sperm is Sacred,
Every Sperm is Good.
And Eric Idle sings a song about space.
Yeah. Well, then there's the sketch where you've got the organ donor and...
Well, that's that precedes... what's that song that Eric Idle sings about space? You know, oh, the space song. It's
on the tip of my tongue, but I can't remember it. Anyway,
it's got Mr. Creosote. But it's not a coherent plot. It's a bunch of vignettes that ends with everybody dying and... I'm just spoil the ending. And it ends with everybody dying and going to heaven, and sitting at a restaurant. And how are the waitresses at the restaurant dressed? Topless, of course.
Right. Yeah.
Sounds very logical.
Well, it's silly.
I mean, that's basically the best way to sum up Monty Python.
But But Holy Grail is my personal, is the epitome of Monty Python to me.
Yeah, I would say that's the gold standard.
Life of Brian was perhaps the most controversial.
Some people call me Tim.
But yeah, Holy Grail, most entertaining. Anyway, now's the time of the episode where we talk about the topic of the day.
Oh, yeah. The topic of the day.
And what would that be, Jesse?
Well, I thought it should be St. Patrick's Day this week, which happens to be next Tuesday coming up.
Yep.
And so I think we all have experienced St. Patrick's Days in the past.
Yes.
They have a lot of sort of interesting traditions that go along with them.
Every St. Patty's Day, I chase our snake Hissy back into her cage.
Is that right? Oh, your snake. Yeah, because yeah. St. Patrick, legend holds that St. Patrick rid Ireland of snakes.
Of snakes.
The Wikipedia page, if you will, disputes that and says that there were no snakes in Ireland at that time, that they had died off because of the cold climate. I don't know if that's true or not.
That's fake news. Fake news.
Yeah. St. Patrick was the greatest snake exterminator.
Sorry, who's the best?
They had the most. They had the most bigly snakes that you've ever seen.
And now they're all gone.
Perfect snakes.
No snakes left whatsoever.
You would have loved their snakes. They were great.
None left. They're all gone.
Just imagine Donald Trump promoting his now defunct Trump steaks. Replace the word steaks with snakes. Snakes. And,
Trump snakes.
And you're golden there.
You can get a box of Trump snakes for $59.99.
Anyway, yeah.
One snake for everyone in the family.
My favorite St. Patrick's Day tradition, although I can't really call it a tradition because I've only done it once thus far, last year, was going to Edgefield, which is McMiniman's property. And McMiniman's prepares... My understanding is that this is an annual tradition for them. McMiniman's prepares two whiskeys, especially for St. Patrick's Day, called the Devil's Bit whiskeys.
Mm-hmm.
There's two of them because they have two distilleries, one at Edgefield and one at Cornelius Pass Roadhouse. And last year, one of them was a wheat whiskey and the other one was a rye whiskey. And they sell them in bottles that are...
Like
small
three,
bottles.
They're 375
half
millimeters,
probably.
I think.
Oh, I think they were...
Maybe a quarter?
They were smaller than that.
Maybe a quarter?
Were they a quarter?
I don't know. They were pretty small. Anyway, I got both of them last year. I would like to do so again this year, but the only way to get them is to go to either Edgefield or Cornelius Pass Roadhouse on St. Patrick's Day.
Do they have both at both locations?
Well, I don't know. I've only been to Edgefield. But my understanding is they sell out on St. Patrick's Day. So if you want them, you gotta get them that day because they won't have any leftovers.
Yeah. If you're going,
well, I gotta figure out which day. What is it gonna be on St. Patrick's Day, which I think is a Tuesday, or is it gonna be on the nearest weekend, which is be this weekend, or to be the weekend after that? I don't know yet. I have to figure that out.
Gotcha.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. I definitely enjoy McMiniman's for most drinking holidays. They give the proper treatment, you know, some festivity, some special drinks, some special foods. It's all at a very approachable atmosphere and a very approachable price point.
I believe last year, Jesse, you and I went. We had some stouts. We had some... what food would we have?
I'm not sure.
Sausages?
I mean, they did have sauce. They did have some sausages. Maybe they probably had
fish and chips. Maybe
they probably.
No, I don't think they had those.
Maybe they had some like a potato salad or a stew of some kind, like an Irish stew, maybe.
A potato.
And then I think we both bought some cheap green tchotchkes. Like glasses or
because that's the
or
other
hat or something.
Or
oh,
necklace,
to
yeah.
avoid the.
Yeah, because the tradition is you have to wear green or suffer the consequences.
Of course, this year I don't know that many people will suffer those consequences.
Yeah.
On a completely unrelated topic that we're not going to talk about.
Right. Oh, they'll suffer the consequences.
Being shunned. Oh, the other fun thing. The other fun thing that McMiniman's always does is have live music, live bands in attendance. They had a like a very, very elderly like three-piece polka band last year.
I remember there was a polka version of the It's a Small World song.
Yeah, but do you remember like the guys, they were playing, what do you call the thing? That's the thing with the...
Accordion?
Yeah, the accordion with the pedals and the finger, or the little keys.
Was it big and rectangular, or was it small and...
It was big, I think.
That's still an accordion.
They had keys, and the bellows, and... Yeah. There was three. It looked like, I mean, just the oldest, like wrinkly. It looked like Grandpa Simpson was like one of the.
Well, let's
guys.
Be honest. How many young people these days are learning how to play polka music?
Yeah, not too many.
Weird Al's kids.
You gotta get Jacob to play. Learn how to play. He knows how to play the tuba.
Good point.
Yeah. Get him to play the tuba again. Or Madison is playing that too, right?
Yeah.
Get one of them or both of them to start a polka band.
Okie dokie. Will do. Get right on that.
They'll be the most popular kids in school if they do that.
There needs to be a new king of polka.
Well, Weird Al's still around, but you know he's not touring this year. Hopefully next year.
So the other thing you can do in Portland, if you don't want to go to Edgefield, is St. Patrick's Day, Kell's Irish Pub, one of the oldest bars in town. It's been around for ages. It's in a very old, like 19th century stone and sort of timber frame building. They have the high bar, like with the ladder that like takes you up, you know, three or four levels up the bar to reach the top shelf with the, and it slides down the bar on the wheels, and you know the, and they also have the downstairs smoking lounge, like cigar lounge, which is one of the only places in Portland you can still smoke indoor, because it's actually like a licensed cigar lounge. And then they have a big, they have a festival where they essentially like put those big giant outdoor tents that, you know, you can hold a festival under and cover up like an entire city block in tents, put up like the fence netting, and charge admission to go inside, and everybody goes in there and dances to live music and gets drunk, drinking like either Irish Red or Irish Stout or Guinness or probably most of the people just the cheapest beer they can get their hands on, like the domestic lager. But it's a fun, it's a big, basically it's a big just drink for all. But they also have, whiskey and wine and music and food. But it's just a drink for all, and it's a tradition in Portland.
So just a follow up to the talk about McMenamins and Edgefield and the Devil's Bit. So they follow the technical. They celebrate St. Patrick's Day on St. Patrick's Day. So if we want any of this Devil's Bit whiskey, we got to get it on Tuesday the 17th.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. It's interesting because you mentioned the Irish pub here. The first time that I didn't start drinking until I was late in life. Until I was later than most people, probably. I was about 33. I want to say. Age of Christ, oddly enough.
Coincidence? Yes.
I think so. It was when my wife and I went on a trip to the coast with another couple that were friends of ours. We went to Newport, and there's a pub there called Nana's Irish Pub. Great place, wonderful atmosphere, and the first thing I had to drink was a Guinness from tap, properly poured as.
Oh yeah, they have to be certified to pour the
absolutely
perfect pint.
That was a fantastic, and I had it with fish and chips, all traditional, was very good. So I'm all about Irish food. I don't know why that was important, but I felt the need to share it.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I feel enriched by your sharing of that experience.
Mm-hmm. I can tell.
Mm. So enriched.
So just in keeping with the theme, earlier on tonight, I've stopped drinking for the night because I have an early day tomorrow. But earlier on tonight, I partook in the drinking of Irish whiskey. Just a kind of a generic but fine Irish whiskey, Jameson.
That's a fine well whiskey.
Yeah. Isn't it extremely popular, though? I mean, it's a very common
Irish Yeah, I whiskey. Think it's probably the most popular Irish whiskey probably in America.
I mean, it's a... I would classify it as a perfectly good everyday whiskey.
Yeah, and one of the characteristics I learned of Irish whiskey is that they are all tend to be triple distilled, and that makes them... a little smoother to the palate, and they tend to be a little on the somewhat like sweeter side as opposed to drier and spicier side.
Do you think they're sweeter than bourbons?
I think just on the front, like on the palate, yes. I think probably bourbon... Like the actual sugar content might be higher on bourbon. I'm not sure if that's the case or not, but
it sounds like that'd be the case.
Go ahead.
No, finish. I was just gonna say like the flavor profile of bourbon is more of like a richer. Sometimes they have flavors that come from the wood. That's more like a mapley kind of a flavor, but I don't know if that's. I don't know if that answers the question or not.
I think I just need to try some more Irish whiskeys.
Kind of word on the street from kind of whiskey drinkers is that Irish whiskey is like one of the more entry and approachable whiskeys for someone who's not already like a whiskey drinker, just to get your sort of palate, the first sort of exposure.
It's how I was first introduced to whiskeys.
Yeah, I would find that to be accurate. I mean, certainly it's much more approachable than something like a Scotch, just because most Irish whiskeys don't have that smokiness that a peated Scotch would bring or something like that. And you're one of the things that I did on, because I'm such a nerd. One of the whiskey, because I would like to. Eventually have a liquor library that involves whiskeys of different regions. So when I chose my Irish whiskey, I went with the Redbreast 12. And one of the things that's also characteristic from my research of Irish whiskeys is that a lot of them will have a malted barley along with just a traditional barley, because in Ireland, around the time that whiskey was being manufactured and produced, there was a tax on barley. But if you malted the barley, you didn't have to pay the tax. So they would malt maybe 50% of their barley when they did their whiskey, so they didn't have to pay tax on it, and that gives it a very unique flavor profile.
That would account for the sweetness in the front of the mouth.
Yeah, there's a very in a lot of Irish whiskeys, there's kind of a shortbread cookie flavor to it. Yeah. It's sweet, kind of buttery. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I'm not an expert either, but if I was going to describe any whiskey as buttery, it would be bourbons, but maybe that's just some of the bourbons I've tried. Again, I haven't tried I've tried more scotches and bourbons than I have Irish whiskeys. Irish whiskeys, for me, I've had the Redbreast, I've had the Jameson, is Bushmills Irish, or is that?
Oh, yeah, I think Bushmills is Irish. Yeah.
Bushmills was very, I tried that. That was very sweet, and I guess maybe buttery, I guess. But
I guess to me, like, bourbons are very vanilla in flavor. There's some cherry in there too. Whereas with Irish whiskeys, there tends to be just a tiny bit of funk that's in there, that kind of buttery flavor, where it's not just straight sweet.
You can really taste the funk.
Yeah.
Hey.
I think I get where you're going there.
Well, one of these days we need to do a taste test, and I don't know exactly what needs to be in there, but we need to compare a decent Irish whiskey to a decent bourbon. We can compare it to a Scotch, but I mean the Scotch is going to stand out.
Somewhere I wrote down the name of a couple of Irish whiskeys that were disseminated to me on a when I was listening to actually they were doing a Irish whiskey taste test on a different podcast I was listening to, and it sounded fascinating. So I wrote down a couple of the.
Was Green Spot one of them?
No.
Oh, really?
No. It was
Tullamore?
Nope. Tullamore Dew was mentioned, but that was mentioned as one of the three big commercial whiskeys, like the Tullamore Dew, like you said, the Jameson, and the one that we just said.
Bushmills?
Bushmills, yeah.
So I guess I've mainly tried, except for the Redbreast, I've mainly tried the three mainstream Irish whiskeys.
The ones that were mentioned in the taste testing, two of them I wrote down because they were actually available and for a reasonable price here in the state liquor stores, except for now. Here they are. Teeling Whiskey and Nepogue Castle.
Really? I've never heard of either.
Is that they're spelled with a PH?
No. Knappogue.
I would not have guessed that.
They're both considered like craft, like volume size, like it'd be like Burnside bourbon or, you know, like it's not like a massive distillery.
But you can find them here. That's interesting.
Yeah, huh. Because like they're probably, the state probably brought in like 100 cases or something like that. And so then each store gets 10 bottles or something, you know, like.
Well, sure. We should seek out one of those. And then hopefully, I mean, I plan to acquire both Devil's Bits again this year. I guess I'll have to go on Tuesday. I'll figure it out, but maybe compare it to the Devil's Bit. The Devil's Bit would be it's not aged. It's prepared every year, so it's a.
Well, it's got to be aged somewhat.
Well, okay, but it's not.
Yeah, they probably age them and then create them from prior vintages.
It's not going to be like a 15-year-old or something like that.
No, I would assume, because that would be really expensive.
Well, they're $24 a bottle for a 200-milliliter bottle.
I mean, that's expensive, but it's not tremendously high.
It's like the price of a premium. If you're buying it, if you scaled it up to a full fifth size, it would be the price of a premium. But there is a premium for buying a smaller volume also. They don't just...
And a limited quantity.
Yeah,
right.
And they only sell it once per year.
On one day per year. I mean, I was told last year it will sell out by the end of the day. So
yeah,
I went ahead and bought both bottles.
Anywho, Irish whiskey's good. I mean, there's also a lot of good beers out there in Ireland or coming from the Irish tradition. But I think for me on, I don't know. I think I just associate Irish whiskey more with St. Patrick's Day. I mean, I do like the beer. It's just a kind of a seasonal beer, though. Like, I mean, Guinness you can drink anytime, but it doesn't have to be drank, in spring or summer or winter. Or
if we're talking about, like, specifically St. Patrick's Day, I would think of whiskey in and of itself, just because of that fact. Because you can find a good Irish red or...
Irish stout is the thing.
Oh, I would also... the other thing is, if I was thinking of a beer on St. Patrick's Day, an Irish red or an Irish stout, or just a lager beer with green food coloring to make a green beer.
that's a cop-out. That's like going to McDonald's and buying a Shamrock Shake. And,
yeah,
that's
stupid. It's really stupid.
So I think now is a good time to. I think you prepared some trivia for us.
Oh,
Jesse.
Did I? Yeah, I.
Oh,
had
did he?
Wait, hold on. Did you?
Yes.
Okay. Good.
Oh, okay. Good.
I actually had a lot of fun doing this. I don't know if you guys. I didn't really ask, but I had quite a bit of fun coming up with the trivia questions.
I hope that I get at least one of these right. I'd be surprised if I got more than that.
I would not be surprised because they're. I don't think they're necessarily super tricky.
I didn't know preparation for this.
But they're not also either super obvious either. Maybe one or two of them might be. Do we want to? I forgot what we did for format. Do we want to just go through then answer each one, or
it's up to you? We don't know what you prepared.
How many did you prepare?
I have 8 questions.
Why don't we go through them and then you can give us the answers to all of them afterwards?
Okay. And you guys can kind of just remember, we'll just remember what your answer was, and then we'll go back to it. Yeah. So the first question is a 50-50 question.
Ooh, nice.
After living 6 years in captivity as a slave of Irish pirates, St. Patrick became a cleric and later a bishop. He is now known as the Apostle of Ireland. St. Patrick's Day is observed on March 17th. Is March 17th the day of his birth or his death?
Oh.
It's got to be his death.
It's his death. Okay. It's definitely his death.
We've got strong agreement going there. Question 2. The modern leprechaun is an amalgamation of many pieces of folklore, commonly depicted as mischievous, small in stature, bearded, wearing green trousers, hat, and coat. According to myth, what is the occupation of a leprechaun?
Oh.
Occupation.
Hmm.
Banker? He's a banker?
I want to say cobbler.
Ooh, I agree. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. Questions.
Does it? I mean, I guess. I don't know.
I'm just, you know, right now I'm at the mode where whatever I say, I just stick with it and lean into it hard.
Yeah. Questions 3 and 4 are audio questions. The first question is, I'm going to ask you to identify the song and artist, but probably getting either one of them, song and title, the artist and title. Probably getting either one of them would be a good solid answer, though. So here, the first one, there's a clue, though. It's the best-selling solo artist, Irish-born solo artist.
Oh, okay.
And here comes a song.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah.
Should we keep saying these out loud, or should we just write them down?
I don't know.
It's Sail Away by
Enya.
Okay, so you are ready to move on to the next question. Question 4, this is the best-selling musical group, Irish musical group.
Is it the Dropkick Murphys?
No. Is it though?
It's gonna be. You're gonna get it for sure. But it's still a good pod, I think. 1 second. Here we go. Oh, wait a second. I think that's the wrong. I think that was the wrong edit.
Oh, it's you too.
Yeah,
it's you too.
Is that Mysterious Ways by U2?
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Question 5. 10% of Americans claim Irish ancestry. This Irish-born actor, best known for a role wearing formal attire and frequently consuming alcoholic beverages, became an American citizen on September 23rd, 2004, and currently holds dual citizenship.
Oh, fancy attire and drinking alcoholic beverages. Irish, wait, Irish?
This Irish citizen later became an American citizen and currently on September 23rd, 2004, and currently holds dual citizenship.
Formal attire and drinks sounds like one of the Bond actors.
I was going to say, is it
Sean Connery? Is Scottish.
Is he?
Well, he wears a kilt and he speaks with a Scottish accent.
Ah, this is the one where you get hung up.
Well, hold on. So Sean Connery, I think, is Scottish. George Lazenby is Australian. Roger Moore is English. Timothy Dalton, I thought, was also English.
I'm pretty sure
Pierce Brosnan is English. And then we have...
he was on Saturday Night Live just this last week.
Oh, it's always the most obvious ones that are the tip of the tongue.
Oh, jeez. Come on.
He was in Knives Out.
Yeah.
Daniel Craig.
That's who.
That
it is.
Sounds more Irish. That,
I was. I'm
Daniel
gonna
Craig.
Go with the Daniel Craig.
Okay, so we have an answer. Question 6. What beverage name is derived from the Gaelic translation for water of life?
Guinness. I'm going to say Guinness.
I mean, I don't know what else it could be.
It could be any beverage, literally any beverage.
I mean, I guess whiskey could translate to water.
Oh, whiskey.
I'm going to go with
That's
whiskey.
That's what it is. You're right. Okey-dokey. It's whiskey.
Question 7. Guinness beer is one of the most popular beers consumed on St. Patrick's Day. Which continent consumes the most Guinness beer?
The United States.
The United States.
North America.
Yeah.
Okey-dokey. And question 8. St. Patrick is frequently depicted as holding this item used to illustrate the Holy Trinity.
Illustrate the Trinity?
This item used to hold to illustrate the Trinity.
Be like a triangle type of thing?
No. Oh, a dove?
How's
a dove?
I'm not okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think it's a dove.
Unless it's a harp, I don't have no idea. I'm going to say harp.
Okay. Okay.
You're probably right because you, I mean, I have no idea.
Because I'm religious? Is that what you're about to say?
No. No, actually, yes, I was going to say that.
Okay.
Also, the symbol of Guinness is a harp. And something else in there, too.
Okay. So are we ready to run down? You guys got some pretty...
I just want
to
say something else.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I wanted to say something else other than what Joash said about the dough.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm probably wrong.
You want to say something else?
That's
go
my
ahead.
Guess.
No, I said
no,
harp.
No, you said harp.
Oh.
Yeah, I have no reason to... let's just move on.
Yeah.
Okay, so the 50-50 question. You're both right. St. Patrick's died on... March 17th. I wasn't sure if that would be, I thought that'd be a trickier question because like you have like President's Day and that's Washington's birthday. You know, like there's certain days that are people's birthdays.
Yeah, but you never really celebrate saints' births because they're not really designated as saints.
They're not
they
sainted
die.
Until
that's
they
true.
Die.
Yeah, that's true. So that was kind of a throwaway question, I guess. But, and the answer was, for two, the leprechaun's primary occupation is a shoemaker or a cobbler.
I don't know where I got that from.
Or a mender.
I'm happy to gravy train on your coattails, Jamie.
Yeah, and you guys were right on, except for it's not Sail Away. The song's title is Orinoco Flow by India.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it was U2, U2's Irish band, Bono, I guess. Question 5. This one threw you guys for a loop. Pierce Brosnan is Irish. His mother is an Irish born citizen,
and
his father's an American. So later on, in fact, in 2004, he gained his Irish citizenship and holds dual citizenship.
Okay. All right.
Water of Life is the Gaelic translation of the initial like root word or phrase was fuisque or fuisque bethe.
Yeah.
It's spelled F-U-I-S-C-E.
It's got F-U in it?
F-U.
That's appropriate.
Yeah. Guinness beer
Interestingly enough, I'm a black belt in the Irish martial arts of fuisque.
this was a well-researched question, and it surprised me. I found it from multiple sources, including Guinness's own... I guess, I don't know, marketing page or fax page. But Africa consumes 40% of all Guinness beer sold.
Oh, my word.
It's very popular. Nigeria is the third largest.
Interesting.
Nigeria is the single third largest national market for Guinness beer after after the UK and Ireland themselves.
Did not know that.
In the United States,
Africa's got good taste in beer.
Yeah, there's apparently 3 Guinness breweries in the continent of Africa itself. Apparently we drink a lot of Guinness on St. Patrick's Day, but not so much at any other time. And the final question, St. Patrick's frequently depicted holding, and it was from his memoirs. He wrote a autobiographical like text. He used the shamrock to illustrate the Holy Trinity.
And
there's almost every like stained glass, almost like every stained glass imagery of him shows him holding a shamrock in his right hand.
That makes complete sense.
Then why is a four-leaf clover so lucky then?
No, because there's very few of them.
Because
very...
that's when the lost part of the quadrant in E.
I was always told a four-leaf clover was lucky because there you would only find like one out of like every field of three-leaf of shamrocks, but there would be one at four leaves on it. Like,
well, yeah, they're
the
like
lucky
a mutation.
Yeah,
I suppose.
It's like a mutation. Yeah.
So it's like the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and Wolverine.
Right.
That makes that honestly makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
Anyway,
I pray to you, Almighty Wolverine.
the Shamrock one. That's a duh sort of thing.
Gosh,
but I was also surprised to find out that Pierce Brosnan was. I was looking for prominent Irish American people, and then I thought, well, I have to throw in like a James Bond question for James.
Well, no,
he obtained his Irish citizenship in 2004.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
No, he had obtained his American citizenship
in
2004.
Ah, okay.
Well, he did so many. I mean, he was in Remington. Well, that was American.
What about Dante's Peak?
Yeah.
make sure to hold the microphone a little closer the next time you take a drink.
I'm just dying.
just dip the microphone into the glass, why don't you?
Usually those parts of the podcast are held aside for our Patreon members, but
that's coming up next.
You get a little freebie here.
Well, yeah, if you join our Patreon, one solid hour of Jesse drinking stuff next to his microphone.
You should see what I do before the podcast starts.
You'll get a solid hour of what happens in the alley.
No, what happens in the alley stays in the alley.
Because
it never leaves the alley.
That's
antimatter hour after dark.
I need some water.
Or if you're a Baywatch fan, antimatter hour nights.
Just hold your glass right next to the microphone and take a drink. So if you enjoyed our St. Patrick's episode or didn't, or were somewhat neutral or ambivalent.
Or if you just have some random complaints to just throw it at us.
Give us some feedback.
Yeah. In fact, if you hated it, just tell us you hated it with a 5-star rating on iTunes.
Yeah, or even can you do 5 stars
Spotify?
Spotify.
Not sure. Give us the highest rating you want, and then you can trash us as much as you want after that.
Are we saying we'll read out reviews, whether no matter what they say, as long as they're 5 stars?
Absolutely. If someone wants to give us a 5-star rating, and we will read out what they have to say.
Yeah, send in your political rant. Joash will read it.
Yeah, absolutely. Or whatever warning you have.
Don't do that.
Anyway.
Well, that's that.
Yeah. That was excellent trivia.
Oh,
Jesse, thank you.
Yeah, good job.
I could feel the love you put into that.
Yeah, I had fun. I was sitting on the carpet and sitting on the floor and watching some TV and Googling a lot of things about Guinness beer. And
wait, you didn't write that trivia while sitting in a chair of some kind?
Oh, no. I mean, can you imagine how good it would have been if I was sitting in a chair? Like, I was sitting on the floor. my internet research skills are much better when I'm sitting in a chair.
So would you say that for the St. Patrick's trivia, did you bring your A game or your B game or some other letter?
Did you bring the A game, comma, name?
Yeah, right. Yes, it was my A team name game.
Yes.
Okay.
All righty.
Well, I think we're done. Anything else anyone wants to say?
Whiskey.
Shake your shamrock.
Devil's bit.